All right. This is Jerry Nunn from Nunn on the Run. We are here in the studio at 720 WGN Radio with David Cerda from Hell in a Handbag is here. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for coming out. And so you don't have a show tonight, right?
No shows on Wednesday.
Okay, nice.
It's usually Thursday through Saturday or Sunday.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm glad you could take some time out and come down and talk about your shows.
Yeah.
So tell people about how Hell in a Handbag got started and your history, where you're from and all that. So people know.
Well, I'm from Northwest Indiana. Okay. And Hammond. Woohoo.
Yeah.
And I started Hell in a Handbag 17 years ago.
Okay.
But before that, I had worked with a theater company called Sweetback Productions. And Kelly Ankers, the founder of that, introduced me to camp and silly, weird, funny drag performance.
Sure.
And it just was right up my alley.
Yeah.
And, you know, after about 2002, we decided to branch out and do my own thing. And I founded Hell in a Handbag Productions.
Mm.
And the first show we did was Poseidon, an upside down musical. And it was a really big hit. It ran for 8 months and went to the New York International Fringe Festival. And we've been going strong ever since.
Nice. Yeah, you just did that one again.
Yes, we did.
Revamped version.
Yeah, that was like the third time we've done it. But this time we had like a live band and wireless mics, our very own. And, you know, growing in baby steps. It's a small theater company, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually that was in my church. That's my church is in that same auditorium.
Oh, okay, so at the Edge really Theater. Good.
Yeah, it's the Urban Village Church.
Yeah.
So it was cool to see it in that space. I hadn't seen a show there.
Yeah. It's a nice space. It's a kind of a secret on the north side in the Edgewater neighborhood.
And so your fans have to kind of follow you around different places. You're at Hamburger Mary's sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and we love Hamburger Mary's. We're in Mary's Attic, and it's like a little boutique stage. Mm-hmm. But all shows aren't suitable for that kind of space, and we like to be in a real theater sometimes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And we perform at like Stage 773 and The Edge. And
yeah.
But we try to keep it consistent to like three places.
Okay. Yeah. So, but I mean, you have so many loyal fans. I mean, your shows get packed.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. You know, I'm just lucky, I guess. You hit a nerve with a certain group of people.
I don't think it's luck. I think you guys do camp better than I can't think of anybody that's done it as well in Chicago. I really am a big fan.
Oh, thank you.
And I appreciate camp. I think people don't understand camp. Obviously, from that Met Ball,
they did not
get it.
No.
But you have to, it's a certain knack to it. It's not just some easy thing to do.
No, it's a skill, and I think you either have it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I was born with it, and I didn't realize it was camp at the time. But
Yeah. Well, when did you first fall in love with Joan Crawford? Because she's kind of queen of camp.
I kind of fell in love with her when I was a kid because my mother would always make me watch Whatever Happened to Baby Jane as a kid.
What?
Yeah. And, you know, and then when I got older, I kind of forgot about her. And I started watching old movies again and really appreciating it. You know, when you're young, you think you know everything and you're like, eh. And I was like a punk and I wasn't interested in old films. And then pretty soon I started like really looking at these things and being educated by older people and telling me, well, you should watch this, you should do this. And it was just, I saw this Joan Crawford movie called Tort Song.
Okay.
And that's the campiest Joan Crawford movie.
Is
ever.
It?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she plays a Broadway star who falls in love with a blind pianist.
Of course, as we do.
And she's tough as nails.
But you haven't done a show about this one, have you?
We've incorporated elements into that in Christmas Dearest.
Okay.
But no, you know, someday we probably will. Probably when I'm like 80 or 90, I'll be up there in strap-on heels and still shaking my moneymaker.
What did you think of the Ryan Murphy thing with the... When they did, like, you know...
The feud?
Yeah, the feud.
You know, I liked it. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of Joan fans, hardcore Joan fans, were like, well, this is inaccurate and this is inaccurate. But I liked it because it humanized her.
Yeah.
And Jessica Lange, I wasn't sure I was on board with her, but as usual, she pulled it off. I thought she was gave Joan a lot more depth and humanity than Susan Sarandon gave Bette Davis.
Okay.
And it was just, you know, I know a lot about Joan, and I can guess why she did certain things and made certain choices, because she had a horrible, horrible upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't go away,
right?
You know, and she was sexually abused and her mother treated her like dirt and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And so she like fought her way to get where she was, and then she felt like she had to keep fighting, you know?
Yes. Like, the day she died.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't think she should have had kids.
Right. I know. Well, they had the twins in that show, which a lot of people don't even know about the twins.
Yeah, well, because the twins say everything was fine.
Yeah, all right. They're not dramatic, or there's no kind of crazy story with them.
Yeah, and well, I think Christina was really strong-willed. She's not a pleasant person. Ask anybody that works with her.
I bet.
And I mean, I've heard this from people. But a kid does not deserve some of the, even if half of what she says is true.
Well, that's true.
And I don't believe it all.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that Joan, no, maybe being an aunt would have been good enough or something.
So, and you have a band called The Jones. How's that going?
Well, it's kind of not going.
Okay.
We haven't done anything in about a year, but it was Joan Crawford as a new wave punk rock dance band.
And it sort of
gave Joan a voice.
It's genius.
Yeah, it was fun. It's fun, and, you know, who knows? But we haven't done anything new, and we haven't written any new songs, so it's just like, you know, I'm not really interested in doing the same old thing all the time.
Yeah. Well, you guys are busy with current productions.
Oh,
Let's talk about that. So the drag seed is currently running through the end of August 24th.
It's August 24th,
It's at Mary's Attic.
It's at Mary's Attic.
Okay.
And it's a parody of The Bad Seed.
Right. The classic.
Yeah. And, you know, there are so many people, when you say it's a parody of The Bad Seed, they're like, what's that?
Right.
Like, what do you mean, what's that?
Go back and do your history.
It's from the 50s. I wasn't alive when it came out, but I know the movie. The movie's brilliant.
Yeah. Right. Right. So you're like, I'm just going to come up with this. Tell me about how the creation.
Well, you know how it started?
Okay.
It started by being told no. I contacted Samuel French, who has, you know, that's where you go, that's one of the publishers you go to for rights to plays. And I said, you know, I want to do these dates. Oh, and I want to, we want to do cross-gender casting.
Okay.
And they're just like, oh, well, you can't do that. And I just said, well, all you have to do is Google The Bad Seed, and all these productions have drag roles in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't aware of that. So I guess I shouldn't have said anything.
Sure.
But they told me no. And then I said, well, you know what? I'll just write a parody of it and something more timely, more topical.
Okay.
And so I made it about a little boy who's a drag queen who kills for the tiara.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool, though. So is there a lot of controversy about cross-gendering casting and all that?
Well, there are certain... No. Not,
okay.
Not really, but... certain older pieces, it's just written in there where, and I have a feeling maybe if I didn't say anything, I don't know, but I, you know, we get a lot of publicity. We're small, but we get a lot of press and publicity. And we got in trouble. The only time we really had to shut down a show was we were going to do a musical parody of Valley of the Dolls.
Sure.
And then Playbill.com published that.
Uh-huh.
And like 2 weeks later, I got this detailed letter from 20th Century Fox.
Oh.
I was like, oh, I want to see the script. We want to see the designs of the I'm like, what do you mean the designs of the costumes?
Wow.
Our budget is probably what it took you to write this letter.
Yeah. Too bad Ebert's not around. Maybe he could have pulled some strings or something.
Yeah, right?
Because he's originally with that. That's crazy. Okay, so that's currently going right now. And then you have another show running at the same time.
We do.
Yeah.
And it's in our third year, the Golden Girls, the Lost Episodes, Volume 3.
Wow. And so that's also at Mary's Attic.
Yeah, right? It's at Mary's Attic, but that's been at Stage 773 as well. But that's a really popular.
Yeah. You did not anticipate this kind of... frenzy for the Golden Girls. I mean, it is, people are going crazy.
Well, yeah, they love it, and they just love the Golden Girls. It takes them back to a happier time, I think.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that the Reagan administration would have been a happier time over the Bush administration?
Right, right. But people were in love with them.
Yeah,
they still
saw,
are.
Saw the show with their grandmothers. They did, you know. And our version is, there are a lot of Golden Girl parodies throughout the country, and a lot of them are just reading the script.
Right.
Okay. And ours is an original script that is, it's a little naughty, it's a little bawdy, it's an adult parody.
Okay. It's What's that, different about this one, this volume three, right?
Yeah. Well, this one, we have them in jail. They're, okay. They're suspected of the murder of their cook, Coco, who was in the first episode. and then the second one, we have a crossover with Jessica Fletcher from Murder, She Wrote.
Right.
Somebody killed Sophia. And it's up to her to find out who did it.
Wow.
And, you know, they... Blanche is a little more sexual. Rose is a little, you know, Dorothy's a little more frank.
Yeah.
It's just the kind of Golden Girls, like when you watch TV, you think, oh, she should say this. And in our version, they say it.
Yeah, they come out and say it because they can get away with it. So, and you're playing Dorothy, right?
Oh, yeah. I am definitely Dorothy. I can totally... I am a Dorothy, but I liked the show and I watched it when it was on.
Yeah.
But I had no idea. I mean, all you have to do is look on the internet. I'm sure it's in your feed all the time. The Golden Girls socks, Golden Girls blankets, Golden Girls cozies, Golden Girls, yeah, Golden Girls paper towels. It's like, what? All right already, you know?
Yeah. It's like I see a doll, like I was at the comic book store and I saw a doll and I immediately thought of you because they're everywhere. I mean,
yeah, somebody, people keep sending me, oh, do you have this? I'm like, I'm not going to spend $100 on a Golden Girls doll.
Right.
Maybe as a gift.
Yeah. Right. But did you have a lot of memorabilia from the show or no?
I do because fans of our show bring it to me or they mail it to me or they... I do have more than most people, I think.
Did you meet Bea Arthur when she was alive?
I saw her, but I didn't meet her.
Okay. Because I knew that she did a show here.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, and people waited around and she did meet people in her trailer or something.
Did she?
I heard about this from one of my friends.
It was such a great show.
Yeah.
And it was funny because there were a lot of older people there. And, you know, Bea's very liberal.
Uh-huh.
And she was very frank. And people were like, oh.
Clutching the pearls. Oh,
yeah, yeah. The language.
Oh, my goodness.
She didn't care.
Yeah, she's like, okay.
No, she's brilliant. Her comic timing is... Nobody can top that.
Yeah, that's true. So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to do a little bit more with David when we come back.